I've been on tough, mosquito-infested mission trips by myself, and I've been on other ones with my wife Jeannie along. To me, there's no comparison. The second kind is my favorite. A guy named Paul seemed to like working solo for the Lord. Which is better? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another time of Bible study here at the Voice of Prophecy. All this week, we're studying some of the Bible passages that we almost hope don't apply to us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is full of them. We're also sharing with each of you a gift copy of Lonnie's recent book entitled Sex, the Myth and the Magic. So have a pen or pencil ready in a few minutes for the information on that. Right now, though, let's get right to the heart of today's discussion. Here's Lonnie with the message, Flying on Aeroflot All Alone.
Thanks, Ken. When things are hard, is it easier to be married or to not be married? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 seems to think that when hailstones are pounding down on your head and religious persecution is all around, it's maybe easier to be single and maybe more productive to be single. Well, let me tell you my own little wartime story and you can decide. In April of 1993, the Voice of Prophecy received an invitation for me to travel to the city of Perm, about 1,000 miles east of the city of Moscow. This was going to be a 5-week, grueling, not luxurious trip to the very heartland of Third World Russia. I know there are 2 Pizza Huts and 4 McDonald's in downtown Moscow, but friend, there was nothing like that in Perm. And of course, you could only get to Perm by taking a 4-hour, hair-pulling, nail-biting, roller coaster airplane ride on Aeroflot. I have to be careful what I say, but I can diplomatically suggest that safety standards, cleanliness standards, airline seats bolted down properly standards, and especially in-flight restroom hygiene standards on the airline were not quite up to what we normally expect when we check in for a flight at LAX. What I'm saying is this. These were 5 of the most wonderful and most terrible weeks of my life. This was missionary living in its most challenging sense, and I had my wife Jeannie along. She sat right next to me on the airplane, in a seat with the stuffing coming out of it, when the, quote, stewardess kind of dumped a big glob of some chickeny stuff on my broken tray. They gave her the same thing. Cold water showers for me meant cold water showers for her. For 5 long weeks, we endured together. Now, was that a blessing or a hindrance to my work? Obviously, any answer I give is going to be a mixed one. And maybe it's wiser today to reflect on this spiritual topic in a generic sense. When times are hard and we want to do the work of the Lord, is it better to not have the encumbrances of marriage? If a person has the temperament to live happily and in contentment without a spouse, as we've discussed these past few days, should they simply pour themselves into gospel work and not even look for a husband or wife? My producer David tells me about a missionary woman his family knew in Thailand. For long decades, Miss Hurai worked all alone under hard conditions in northern Thailand. She traveled to the small villages and gave Bible studies and strengthened churches. She visited homes that were breaking up. She gave out of her own little salary to help the needy. No husband ever came along for her. She never bounced children and grandchildren on her knee. And a few years ago, she passed away after a lifetime of Christian service, solitary service. Is that the better way? Paul obviously thought so. Again, from the point of view of service. Here's what he says in verses 32 to 34. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. What would be some of the advantages to living in an unmarried state during times of hardship or when involved in the Lord's work? Obviously, there's a time factor. It takes time to be married and be married right. We said very clearly on Tuesday that marriage involves clear and compelling obligations. There are things married people ought to do for and with each other, but those things do take time. When you're married, your spouse is your first love. He or she consumes much of your attention, your emotional energy. Now, more about that in a moment, but God clearly commands us to make our partner in life a high priority. And of course, when you're going to undertake something like travel or foreign missionary work, a marriage relationship is a complicating factor. There's no two ways about it. Planes land at 3 a.m, meals are late, meetings start late, and run past midnight. And a husband who does that kind of work has to not only think about the closing of his sermon, but also say to himself, how's Jeannie doing? Here's another night with very little sleep, and we skipped supper again. How's she holding up? A married man with several kids has to juggle between maybe 6 passports and 6 plane tickets instead of just one. It's a lot harder to fly the red eye with the whole clan along than if you're just zipping across the ocean all by yourself. And then, how about plain unvarnished persecution? In Perm, Russia, Jeannie and I felt some of the milder forms of opposition, but Paul in chapter 7 is talking about the real thing. What today's Christians might call the tribulation or the 7 last plagues, famines and pestilence, a political upheaval, and a global coalition of people determined to stamp out pure Christian faith. You may hear on the radio today a reminder that the San Francisco earthquake, you recall the shake right before Game 1 of the World Series, happened on this date, October 17, 7 years ago today in 1989. The Bible tells us that earthquakes will happen more and more in these last days. And who could deny Paul's observation that in times of tumult, looking out for a spouse and kids is harder than just riding out the earthquake all by yourself? However, let me turn the coin around just now and examine with you the other side. The Lord led me to have a wife. Even if there's hard times and missionary work, it's very evident that God had me in mind when Genesis 2:18 was written. It is not good for man to be alone. Now, that was written about Adam, who wasn't supposed to face earthquakes and reluctant Russians and bad airplane rides. Adam didn't have a world to save with the gospel like Paul and some of us have to do. But back in 1967, it was clear that it wasn't good for Lonnie to be alone. And so I have a wife who travels with me. What are some of the advantages of that? Well, first of all, in hard times, you do have that someone special to lean on. It's hard at 1 a.m, and it's good at 1 a.m. to not be alone, to have the comforting hug of a spouse, to hear their words of encouragement when trials come. If I live to experience the specific challenges of the last days before Jesus comes again, as described in the book of Revelation, yes, it'll be hard to be married then. But it will also be very comforting, very strengthening to have that partner holding my hand through the storms. And marriage can be a tremendous spiritual blessing in other ways. A spouse and kids can make you a more unselfish person. You learn to share more, to think of others more, to be sensitive to the needs and perspectives of other people. A married person has the advantage of sensing how that partner has strengths to make up for his or her weaknesses. We once shared with you a marvelous illustration by Dr. Tony Evans. Let me mention it again right here, and I'm quoting. As members of the body of Christ, we are like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. Each piece has protrusions and indentations. The protrusions represent our strengths, gifts, talents, and abilities. And the indentations represent our weaknesses, faults, shortcomings, undeveloped areas. The beautiful thing is that when we assemble, each piece complements the other, blending inconspicuously to produce a beautiful picture. Now, Pastor Evans was describing the church, but can't the same principle apply to a husband and wife team? It's certainly been my experience that my wife Jeannie has many of the talents that are glaringly absent from my own resume. So there are pros and there are cons. And even Paul would say to those who are married, stay married, be thankful for your spouse, and ask God to use the both of you in service for him. In verses 28 to 31 is a perspective that certainly has to apply to 1996 and the days that follow. Listen, those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. for this world in its present form is passing away. And we say, wow, live as if you didn't have a wife? What are you saying, Paul? Do we go out and sleep in the garage? Do we pack up and move to a commune with a men's dorm and a women's dorm? Now, this is a challenging, last days, time is short kind of verse. But let me share a short paragraph out of our Seventh-day Adventist commentary, and I'm quoting, "We should refuse to allow the married state to lead to forgetfulness of our obligation to be in touch with heaven all the time. In other words, the cares, responsibilities, and pleasures of marriage are to be made secondary to the great objective of life, which is constant communion with the Lord and readiness for His coming." Friend, marriage is a beautiful gift from God, but heaven comes first. Our commitment to our spouse is important, but our commitment to Jesus Christ comes first. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you balance those things right. I know a man, a Christian man, who works right in this building where we're recording. He did the, quote, work of the Lord until midnight every night, and finally his wife left him. On the other hand, there may be hard times ahead when God leads me to say to Jeannie, "Honey, I'm going to go alone to do this particular work. God's promised us an eternity together, but right now there's an urgent need. You stay home and pray for me." Again, I ask, how do we balance that? Friend, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to guide you into heaven's wisdom and heaven's plan.
That's tremendous counsel, friend. And it's been the Holy Spirit who's guided this radio ministry for 67 years now. We can be grateful for His presence in our lives. Remember that we'd like to mail you a free copy of the book, Sex, the Myth, and the Magic, by Tim Crosby and Lonnie Melashenko. Why not give us a call, toll-free, and we'll get it to you right away. Here's that number, 1-800-872-0055. Again, 1-800-872-0055. Or you can write The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Sex, the Myth, and the Magic. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Tomorrow, Lonnie concludes our time in Chapter 7. Here's his title, Happy as a Slave. Don't miss it. For all of us here at the Voice of Prophecy, this is Kenneth Richards with Lonnie Melashenko, reminding you that it's always true, friend, God loves you.
A New York pastor told me the story. Some mugger in the city beat up a little old lady. When the police arrested him, they asked if he knew who he had beat up. No, he didn't, just some old lady. The officers shook their heads. That wasn't just some old lady. She was somebody's mother. And not just anybody's mother. She happened to be the mother of one of New York's biggest mafia bosses. The pastor found a certain bemused satisfaction in the story. Two of his elderly parishioners had been carelessly dumped down stairways by muggers. And, well, this was one mugger who would feel the weight of his savagery. Now, God is no mafia boss. He's good, not evil. On the other hand, he's the biggest boss of all. He loves his people. And we'll answer to him for how we treat his family. Have you roughed up anyone lately with your hands or with your words? Have you assaulted your wife or your husband, your children? An employee, a pastor, a parishioner? Maybe they didn't seem like anyone special, but the truth is, these ordinary people have a special place in the heart of the boss, and you'll answer to him for how you treat them. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is Dan Matthews of Lifestyle Magazine.